All right, so what I would like to do, I'm between you and lunch. Dangerous place to be, but I get extra hazard pay for being director. So actually what I'd like to do is to give you a little bit of data that I've been sort of culling over time and try to really start a discussion that's probably going to take place more at lunch, which is really what can or should the KITP do to impact high school physics across the nation? That's the question. So we've been doing the teachers conference for many years. I think that we know what the value of this is. What I'd like to explore and really use all of you as ways of getting some information is, are there other things we could do? Or should we, you know, what should we be doing? This, for me, is very flavored by personal experience. I'm going to start by briefly telling you what got me very involved in high school education, which for was because I have children who happen to go to high schools here. So I got very involved in a local effort at the Dos Pueblos Engineering Academy, as did John Martinez here as well. And I'm going to briefly tell you that story. This is, they compete in the FIRST Robotics. So most, how many of you know about the FIRST Robotics program? Very good. Okay, so we're Team 1717. If that doesn't mean anything to you, then you're obviously not tracking the field. but in this image, my daughter is here. There she is. And this is, she's happy. Oh, well, they won. So this is in 2008, as you can see. So I'm going to just very briefly. So this was founded here at the Dos Pueblos High School in Goleta. We've now expanded it. We have over 100 freshmen per year. This is from the entire community. It's in a public school. We now have two classes now with 100 each. It really has changed as we've expanded. It's a four-year curriculum, which involves physics, computer science, actually art and engineering design is now in it. All the students are going to college. Half are women, which for those of you in the university world know that that's an achievement, and we don't have that yet at all in undergraduate physics majors. They use the capstone project for the seniors as FIRST Robotics, but it's also run as a small business. The students learn a lot of soft skills, basically working in teams to run the whole operation. And we also demand now that all of our students are out doing things in the community, typically something like the FIRST LEGO Leagues or tutoring in a program called AVID. Many of you probably know about AVID. Basically forcing our students, whether they like it or not, to do service to give back to the community while they're still in the community. And for many of them, this exposes them already at a young age to the value of teaching. And I think one theme you're going to hear me talk about is a hazard we have in the academic world is exposing our students too late to the value of teaching. And so they discover maybe too late in their life or their career that their real passion is teaching. And if you discover it too late, it's actually a little hard often to go back. And so we're starting to do that in this context, but it's something we need to do more at the colleges. To achieve this, which is a local success, we discovered we needed three things, and I wanted to just say that out loud. We needed to have a teacher who was willing to work hard, and that's Amir. It helped a little bit that he got this award, which I also think helps high school physics in general, that a high school physics teacher actually can be recognized that way. The school district here in town allowed us to do things, I would say, stayed out of our way. I'll even have that on the record. But we discovered that the only way to achieve this is to actually form a separate foundation, and that's something I was very involved in, that allowed the parents, the community, companies, philanthropists to get engaged to help the school. Businesses in this community really were eager to help, but were very reluctant to give generically to the district, but once it was targeted and clear where the money would go, we're willing to step up. And so I think for many of you, you know, I'd be happy, and John or I or both could talk about this model. For those of you who want to try to do something in the school, in your school, and I think this is a theme again here, is what KITP might be able to help with is making those contacts in your places, wherever you happen to be. This was really project-based learning. It's not really what I want to talk about. It certainly requires a lower student-to-teacher ratio, or maybe I've got that inverted. 25 to 1 is what we now have via other resources. Definitely require the school district to allow more flexible thinking regarding teaching to the test and more resources than normally available. But to achieve this, I would argue strongly, we needed three things. And so all of you are here. I would declare each of you is capable of that already. I'm hoping you're sitting in a school district that might allow you to do something, but I think this is the piece where often is where you can't sort of achieve what you want. Okay, so we're at the KATP. So what are our strengths? What do we bring to the table? What we do extremely well is access to the physics community. We have 1,000 unique visitors per year that come through here. The whole physics community cycles through this institute. There's an opportunity to educate, to infect, to influence that we have that we've not necessarily taken advantage of. They're all active researchers. Roughly 40% are from another country. And we have the ability to really convene the community. If we call, people show up. That's true. And you're an example, I guess. We also have a program of scholars. These are theorists, primarily undergraduate institutions, four-year colleges. They come here for 6 weeks over a three-year period. Those individuals are very passionate about teaching. They are teaching at the undergraduate-based institutions, which supplies, you'll see in a minute, about half of the physics majors are coming from those institutions. Of course, we have our online talks, which is a tremendous resource, public lectures. As already mentioned, we have journalists and residents, individuals who come here and spend extended time. And we have connections to foundations, some of which fund education. The Knowles Foundation, you maybe know about. They have how many people know about the Knowles Foundation? So that supports a certain number of physics teachers per year. Keck Foundation is more California-based, and the Simons Foundation is what supports Math for America. There's not physics for America yet, right? But I've told them twice now in their building that they needed to do physics for America. Math is not enough. So what's the scale of the problem? This is more things all of you know, probably, because you're living it. But I wanted to get a sense for the scale of the issue. There's about 30,000 physics teachers. This is mostly from Ted Hodapp, who's at the APS, who I've been working with to sort of get my head around the problem. His statement is about 3,000 teachers find themselves in front of a physics class for the first time every year. Half of them are actually new teachers. The other half are new assignments, where you've been assigned to teach physics by your district. 400 of those have a physics degree. That's the number that are taking physics. And I'm going to show you the data. I don't know what your experience is, but the data is quite shocking to me, and I hadn't looked at it, which was the huge increase in the number of students taking physics. So my first interactive thing I wanted to do was to take a poll of class size. So I'm going to do this in four bins. So how many of you, when you're teaching physics, have less than 20 students in your class? Raise your hand high. Less than 20 students. 5, 8, 10, 15. OK, we got 15. 20 to 25. 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. 25 to 30. 3, 7, 13. 30 to 40. More than 30, really, is all I want. More than 30. Let's just do more than 30. Oh, okay, sorry. 30 to 40. Okay, sorry. 30 to 40. We've got some really obscene ones. Okay. 2, 4, 8. Okay, more than 40. 4. 4 have more than 40. Okay. Yep, good luck. It's going to get worse, apparently. These are data, so the American Institute for Physics does its best at culling data. It's unfortunately never up to date, but this shocked me, and I have no idea. I've had emails with a lot of people as to what happened. This is showing the fraction of seniors who have taken at least one physics. That's basically the fraction of students who've been exposed to physics before they graduate. And you can see it had a minimum around less than 20% in 1985, and now it's approaching 40%. I have no idea if anybody has any real knowledge as to what happened. I'd love to know. Okay.
So, required, and so.
Yeah. So change in standards.
Yeah, change in the standards.
Okay. There's a, in the back? If anything different, we don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure I heard everything in front, but the competition to get into colleges has grown so much, physics is seen as a dividing line.
So you see that as the colleges are pushing back, though? Or is it? Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I question whether or not these are, what kind of physics classes these are.
Yeah, I'll show that in a minute.
Okay, because in my stay, I'm from North Carolina, seen a decrease in the traditional honors and AP level physics and an increase in a very basic physical science course, which many people count as physics, which is the students have a hard time solving F is equal to MA after 2 or 3 weeks. So.
Yeah, so I'll show that data in a minute, which is counter to what you just said, so you'll discover you're an anomaly.
See, for us, we have an academy at our school. It's an energy and utilities academy, funded by PG&E, ERA, Chevron. So we force our sophomores to take this. Most of our physics students are sophomores. Those are the ones that I teach, required to take the class. They take biology as a freshman, chemistry, physics sophomore, chemistry as juniors. So our numbers are up. Partially because we tell them, you know, the more the merrier, looks better on your college application, but also we want to get them early. So it's probably not the level that like an AP physics course goes, although we do offer that if they want to.
Right. Okay.
He kind of touched on it, but I think a part of that is the physics first push. So people, a lot of this may be ninth grade physics classes, which are barely physics.
Yeah, okay. So let me cut to the next. So this was the data, sorry, so I'm just going to jump to the next slide because it shows some of that. So this is showing from 1987 to 2009, the physics enrollment in the types of courses. So you mentioned physics first. Here you can see in 2009 it was responsible for 82,000. The blue bar here is what they called regular physics. I don't know what that is. But these two bars are honors and AP or second year. So from these data, the growth has been in conceptual, as you sort of raised already, the freshman physics, conceptual physics, but also in the honors and AP. And the regular has been more or less flat, according to this data. So that's a little maybe counter to one of your local experiences, but yeah, please.
Well, I kind of what he was saying, I know in Dallas, a lot of our schools push kids into physics because it makes the numbers look better. And I know several AP teachers who have kids that probably have a sixth grade knowledge of physics. So just because those statistics show that, I'm not sure that that's always valid. I mean, they're in the classes, but doesn't mean they really should be, or they're learning a lot.
I kind of want to challenge us all as physics teachers to really we see physics as being, you know, that if you're doing good physics, that means you're, you know, you have to have calculus and, or, you know, you have to have a strong math background. But, and I'm not necessarily speaking towards, you know, conceptual physics, but the physics first program, I think, does something different, is asking something different about what it is that physics, what a high school or a person needs to leave high school with as a physics, you know, in their physics background. So that's all I want to add.
To echo the comment to the front row, I've been to different schools all around New England, and what a lot of physics and science teachers in general are saying is the name is changing, but that doesn't mean that the material that's actually covered is changing. There's been a large push to get rid of the lower end science classes, and in doing so, some of these districts just say, oh, well, we're just going to change the name, and instead of it being remedial, now you're introduction. And yeah.
Okay. Yeah, last one, and I'm going to keep moving.
In response to this data.
Yeah, please.
Maybe not in every school, but in some schools, students are put into a conceptual class because they need to find a class for the student to take.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so the other thing on there, website from the AIP was a teacher self-assessed level of preparation. These were asking high school physics teachers whether they felt adequately or well-prepared. And the one, at least on this one, which I was happy to see in the sense that we're doing something, is recent developments in physics was one that people felt they were at least prepared in. And this is something we are addressing. I mean, in some sense, that's what you're experiencing today. Of course, it's only reaching 100 of the 30,000 of you. So I won't declare success. But there is a question for us here as to whether we should find a way to provide more content of the cutting-edge science that's going on in the physics community, to have it be available to not just those of you who were able to come physically. Yeah, please. Got the mic.
From my experience with myself and some colleagues, we would love to look at recent developments in physics. It's really an issue of time with the large classes, like we're saying, for those of us who have like over 40 students, and you have a prep and it takes your whole prep to prepare and grade. I don't know if there's anything KITP can do besides like, I'm gonna pay for this high school teacher to have an extra prep. That's probably not gonna happen, but it's more of a time issue to actually just, we know where to find the information. I don't think that's an issue.
Well, there's a question is, do you know where to go easily to get content? Okay.
Sunshine.
Please.
Well, one of the things, regardless of what level the students are taking physics at, we need to be up to date. It doesn't matter if they're taking conceptual or honors. Right. You know, the teachers need to have this information. But I'm wondering if there's anything like a question board that the students or teachers could, I don't know, I get students that come to me with questions that I don't feel adequately prepared to answer or know that I'm answering them correctly sometimes. And so if we could somehow post a question and have somebody answer that or help to answer that for us, that would be nice. I would think that putting things on YouTube that we could access easily for classroom usage would be great also.
How many of you can get YouTube in your classroom, or is it blocked by the district? Oh, the district doesn't block it. Huh? Teachers can get it. Can you show a YouTube video in your class or not? Okay.
Okay. I wanted to jump in as well because Sherry's on the right track, but one additional thing is, and I would just make this as a suggestion and maybe address our speakers today as well. You know, you guys give amazing talks. And you've got some really high-level research that you've done as a background. It would be really nice if you translate some of that into a PDF that I can download, or I could aim a student at, that gives a good popularized summarization of the work that you do. Because oftentimes, and I myself as well, get bogged down trying to work through the details without being able to really understand what kind of cutting-edge research is being done. It's nice to be able to say, okay, here's a good summary for a student, here's a good summary for me, so I can direct them to that additional work, and then from there, maybe that generates enough questions that they can continue on to get deeper into it.
Okay.
Yeah, just following up on that last point, you know, having been here for years in this, having this be such a really good professional development, on the recent developments in physics, I noticed that you have a journalist and residence program that's here.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if, with your funders, if you couldn't have a teacher in residence program?
Yeah.
Because if you could, because of all the other conferences that you do that do not have the teacher component to this, one of the roles that that teacher and resident could do is, and you would, this would be an out of a classroom for a year teacher going back afterwards, would be to bring it down to our level so that we could be able to get those PDFs, those video clips, whatever it is. It would hopefully be helpful to you guys with your broader impact components on your NSF grants as well. If you rolled those guys every year into a new teacher that would come in.
That's a clever idea. Yep. Greg's taking notes, I think. So the fact that I'm not writing it down don't misinterpret it. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to second that, but I wanted to say, rather than putting the burden on the researchers who maybe have something to, it'd be interesting to bring in a student for a week or two and have them do exactly that,
I'd follow around with a teacher, with a journalist, follow one of the researchers, and, you know, sit in on lunch and then have the student create some presentation. Well,
you mean a high school student?
A high school student, yes, that's what I mean. And, you know, put something up on the web or something.
Okay, let's go over here. And then two more, and then I got to keep moving. I've got a few other things I want to.
I would just like to support the YouTube idea. There's a lot of power that I think you have to give a face to physics, especially women physicists, and providing short, you know, less than 5 minutes, around 3 minute videos that highlight people and show their passion and excitement and explain something cool that they're doing. That's really, really a powerful thing. And it's a hard thing to find that's been done well. And you do have this great resource of all these amazing people that come through here. So I think that would be really, really useful.
And what would you like to see in the content there? Is that someone excitedly talking about their research?
Yeah, I mean, like, what are the interesting questions that you're asking next? Where are you going? What have you done? Where did you come from? And maybe a shout out to why are you in physics? Because it is nice to hear that it was this great physics teacher, chemistry teacher that I had that showed me these really cool possibilities. Right. So I think you could have like 5 or 6 questions you ask each of those that could really highlight and bring out some really cool conversations.
Yep. Great. Please.
All right, so I'm the biology teacher in the room. So I think it would be really great to give the interdisciplinary spin on it, like how is physics being used to solve problems in biology, problems in environmental science, problems in earth science, things like that, so that you can infuse the developments in physics into other courses that would then encourage students to pursue physics, because it would give a more, I don't know, for those people who warm fuzzy, the emotional side of things, and you know, make physicists into more than robots.
Yep. Okay.
Hi.
Final question, I'm going to keep moving. Yeah,
mine is actually more of a suggestion that I just had while I was sitting back here. There's a San Francisco startup company called HealthTap. Is anybody familiar with it? It's a medical company, and the purpose of it is that they allow people to write in questions that are then answered by medical doctors, and they're relatively rudimentary answers, but what it does is it focuses the information that's on the internet already, and it helps them provide these links. And so what I was thinking of, you know, there are already tons of forums out there, physicsforums.com, and even the APS page on LinkedIn does a lot of these questions where you can write in and get answers from experts. But I think for the teachers who don't have the time to sort through all of that, they need a defined place that's answered by experts. And so this goes back to, you know, many hands make light work. If we could develop something that was run through KITP or some overarching organization where teachers could write in a specific question that were then answered by the people who knew exactly what YouTube video to watch, or exactly what Wikipedia article to read, or what section of the Wikipedia article to read, which can be quite lengthy, then you can streamline that information and help the teachers find what they're looking for the minute they look for it. And it's very easy to people, you know, researchers, as graduate students, you know, I'm married to one, just know where that information can be found quickly.
Okay, I'm going to keep moving on. We'll be more time. I just want to be sure I get through some of this. So, because of what I'm going to start talking about next, which is the explosion in undergraduates that want to do physics, I just wanted to look at the data on how many of the physics teachers were physics undergraduates, and that's about 25%. Not saying that makes them better or worse teachers, but it is at least a population that's identified as interested in physics. And of course, many of you probably know this. This is again from Ted Hodapp. The high school physics classes, typically 40%, or in physics and chemistry, are taught by someone with a degree in the field. In other disciplines, it's interesting to see biology and math are much higher. Social studies and English are nearly 100%. And again, this is more, I'm going to highlight this more because of the explosion we're seeing in the university in students wanting to do physics, which is why I think this might be a relevant issue. You all know you're in shortage. Of course, that's why you're paid twice normal, right? Sure. Apparently, you're spending more time teaching physics. That's the claim, according to the AIP. is that the physics teachers are having higher fraction of their classes are physics as opposed to something else, so they say. That's one way, I guess, the demand has been met, this new demand either created by the government asking for freshmen, state governments asking for freshman physics or not. So there's roughly 1,500 new teachers every year to accommodate the teaching and, of course, just attrition. About 25% have physics undergraduate degrees. According to the data, physics teachers are spending more of their class time actually teaching physics. I would argue that should be positive for you, but maybe it's not. You're being forced to teach a physics class you don't want. You'd rather teach what? Biology, okay. So what else? So I'm going to jump into the undergraduate. Before I do that, is there anything else? I wanted to get a sense of the scale of the issue, because I'm going to relate that to what's going on in undergraduate physics. But are there any other more trends that people have sensed that would be important on this sort of summary?
I'm thinking of just another issue as far as teaching in the state of California. There is no modern physics in these state standards. So that's a huge issue for me. I only, you know, I try to mix it in kind of related to whatever topic I'm on, and then the whole month after CST testing I include it, but somebody with power needs to change that.
Yeah.
Also, one of the problems for many of us, even in a large school district, we may be the only physics teacher. We don't have any opportunity to share any professional development, to share any thoughts or suggestions or teaching pedagogies.
Group.
Yeah, no peer review,
right.
no peer sharing.
Yeah, that's an important point. And that's not going to change. I mean, these numbers aren't going to change that. Yeah. They'll go from 1 to 2, maybe. Right.
Really kind of two ideas here for me. The idea of professional learning communities that, you know, we were talking, he was just mentioning up front that he's the only physics teacher in his school district. I'm one of three physics teachers in four high schools in my school district. And the need for me to communicate, I mean, this is part of the reason why I come here every year, is it gives me a chance to really talk with people who know the physics and keep me on the straight and narrow along the way. The other one is related to that, just we need more mentoring between current teachers and new teachers who are coming into it. That is a strong need I see.
Yeah, and that probably impacts retention too. I mean, another trend which I don't have here but I have read in the literature is the number of teachers that come in and 3 or 4 years later they're gone, and a lot of that is the lack of a peer group that they can interact with. That's what they report.
I don't know about other districts, but there's a definite trend in my district that more and more of my time is taken up with Common Core standards and not directly physics related material. Not necessarily a bad thing, I mean pedagogically appropriate some of it, but a huge drain of time that is not related to physics.
In junior high and middle school, my impression is that most physics chemistry teachers at those levels do not have a degree in physics or chemistry. It's mostly biology teachers, I believe. And so I've personally seen big misconceptions being taught, and that's, you know, concerning to me.
Okay, so I want to, oh, sorry, there's one more in the back, please. Hang on, wait for the mic, yeah.
I just want to emphasize that I hope people belong to the AAPT. The people who were saying that they're the only physics teachers in a school, the American Association of Physics Teachers have local meetings twice a year, where at least at those occasions they could meet with other physics teachers.
Well, that's a really good point. Okay, so what's going on at the undergraduate level? And it's quite shocking, and actually here at UCSB it's even more shocking than this. So just these are the data of physics bachelor's degree awarded in the US. So you see what you've created. Here's the bump, but it's unclear. So we've got about 6,000 in 2010. The growth is happening both in the bachelor's granting institutions and in the PhD granting institutions. for the same time period. So there is this growth. We're experiencing here at UCSB a tripling in the number of freshmen arriving claiming to want to be physics majors in a four-year period, probably. We don't yet know if they're capable. What do physics undergrads say they want to do? This is old data. 6% claimed that they wanted to become a high school teacher, okay, in 2006, 2007. Oh, it was self-reporting. So I'm going to be brief here. So there is this large increase. Like I said, we've seen it here, and anecdotally, when I ask, it's happening more or less everywhere. It's very unlikely that growth is not going to be absorbed by the PhD programs. There's no doubt about it. Many universities are now changing their physics majors to encourage them to explore other career paths while they're a physics major. And so one discussion that's happening locally here at UCSB and at other campuses, but not as much as it should be, is to start exposing physics undergrads to teaching as a possible career path. Let's just do some of the numbers. If we just keep that 6%, that's only 360. Of course, we don't have to satisfy all the demand with physics undergrads, but there's clearly some room for growth here. And the challenge that I've personally experienced is the coordination with the School of Education, which is a common requirement, makes this a really hard challenge, and it varies state by state. And so I call this a hard problem. Now, there's one organization that's been doing this, PhysTech. So I've got these slides from Ted Hodapp. So how many of you have heard about PhysTech? Very few. OK, good. So you're going to learn something. So I would encourage everybody to write down this web address. So this is a project that's funded by the NSF to the American Physical Society and to the AAPT. And the whole goal is this goal, which is a high goal, which is to transform physics departments to engage in preparing physics teachers. You could argue that the timing of this is now particularly good, given the explosion and the number of undergraduates. This is the time to actually do this. And so they've got many models. Many campuses are doing these as one-off experiments. And they're trying to then spread the best practice ideas through the physics community. And so this is it's been happening for about 10 years. And it's the only thing I know of that's starting to address this. These are now the member institutions. The funded nodes are the red dots. And the relatively unfunded, they call them member institutions, are the blue dots. There's not a lot of money in this program at all, in my view. And as I'll show you in a minute, I don't think it's impacting the problem as much as one could imagine. But my main point is that there is at least something happening to try to do this. These are the other interesting data for me to see was, these are PhD granting departments. So for the KITP, the people we interact with are coming from PhD granting universities, right? We have researchers. Okay. That's our community, that's my community. This is showing how many each of those institutions, the top 50, how many undergraduates they're producing every year. And so I was actually pleased to see, and John, you should be proud. Here, you see Santa Barbara was already high. We know now it's probably up in the, it's gonna be, we're gonna be at the top of this list next year, for better or worse. These are universities where we have immediate access, in the sense of we have people coming from those places here all the time, okay? The ones with red are ones with PhysTech sites, okay? And you can see that penetration isn't that great at the PhD granting institutions. This is responsible for half of the undergraduates, right? This is where half of the undergraduates are being trained. Just wanted to put that up there. So I'm gonna wrap up. So what can we do? And I honestly don't know yet what we can or should do, or whether we should do anything. It's gonna be hard for me to do nothing. That's not my personality. Should we provide more content that's helpful to you? I'm getting a pretty clear yes from the discussion we had. What can we do? Well, we can bully pulpit. We can convene physics department chairs in concert with the APS to make the case that they should be doing this, but that's more preaching, and we might need to do that. I think we can help you with connections to nearby universities. I think exposing undergrads, physics undergrads, to teaching and the value of teaching and allowing them to discover that that's their passion, the sooner we can have that happen for that individual, the better, or find it's not their passion. And I think we have connections that should allow each of you a way to get into a nearby university where there are students being trained in physics and expose them. If you have a way of incorporating a physics undergrad for 2 hours a week into your classroom. And other ideas. So I'm going to shut up there and take more questions, and then we'll wrap up. Yep. Hang on a second. Yeah, questions. Suggestions, actually.
I hear from a number of teachers that time is a big issue, and of course it is. One place where we do have time is in the summers. This just popped in my head. Perhaps, you know, teachers like get paid over the summer. They find something to do. You have a university that has a program where they bring a number of teachers in or a few teachers in. I could see perhaps making a class where you have undergrads come in when they work with teachers. They find out about what it's like to be in the teaching profession. They could maybe develop some of these modules, YouTube clips, put together information on what's going on in current that the teachers could use, and they work together to collate some of the stuff that's going on in physics today. At the same time, they get an idea of what it's like to teach without necessarily teaching in a classroom. Could be a 2 week, 3 week, 4 week thing where at least they get an idea of what that's like.
Yeah. Yeah. Please.
Hi. At our school, we're looking at our graduates after they've left high school. How successfully did they enter college, and how successfully did they achieve at the university level? It would be really cool to be able to track a student's effective, you know, learning, and maybe map backwards and figure out what students achieved well, and what, you know, what the teachers were doing to help them achieve. If that could, you know, a program where you take a student in a freshman physics class and find out what their education was and what school they came from, you know, do that kind of collection of data, that could then be communicated back to the high school level and probably find out a lot from that.
I think first off, probably nationally, we need to reverse the conversation about teaching in this country. And, you know, there's lots of states who are, just read last week, where getting your master's degree doesn't do anything for you. I mean, they're taking away all of the initiative to better yourself as a teacher. And I think that conversation needs to be had. Secondly, I think if we really want to give them a taste of teaching, if we can somehow, for me in California, it would be after April 19th, when our final physics standards test is, and have them and go to our local junior high schools and find out what they teach in physical science, and design lessons where the kids go out to those junior high schools or elementary schools and have them teach hands-on science lessons, something relatively simple, and give them not a taste when they get to undergrad, but a taste when they're in high school, and see if it's something they can picture themselves doing. I myself, I can't envision doing another job. I like what I do, and so it's hard to communicate that. I think the kids who are into it, when they see it, will go, yeah, that's not a bad idea.
I was also going to make a suggestion. I'm from Kalamazoo, Michigan, and Western Michigan University is one of the PhysTech schools that's actually financially supported. And I can tell you with all due respect that those people don't have a freaking clue.
Yeah.
They have this and
that's good.
Don't worry, I won't. The difficulty is that they're not connected to the schools, so they have you know a set model that they're trying to develop based on, you know, whatever standards they work with, but. You know, they've been in business for a decade, and I have had exactly 2 hours of contact with those people, and they didn't want to hear what was going on in the classroom. Most of the teachers that have gone through that program have got very small graduation rate, and I don't think it's going to impact on anything. In addition, there are lots of opportunities for undergraduates and students to learn how to teach. There's a Research Experience for Teachers program that the National Science Foundation sponsors. Department of Energy does the same thing. There's at least one person here who works with those people.
Well, but I was really thinking of getting college students.
Right, but one
into
of
the high school classroom. That's
but,
the question.
But even Research Experience for undergraduates, you know, you can with NSF, you can link those people together so they're working together, and then from there you could pull them into a high school classroom.
Well, so the NSF has something called an REU program.
Right, the REU program.
There is no TEU program.
Well, I know, I understand it.
Teaching experience for undergrads.
But as I've been an RET teacher for nearly a decade, and I work with REUs during the summer.
Right.
And one of the things we often talk about is you know, teaching as a career. But I think the real issue is that there's no single umbrella organization out there trying to get things in place. You know, you've got all these different arms of an octopus all slapping around fish and not really focusing on the issue.
Yep.
And I think to some extent KITP is in a prime position because of the number of people and number of institutions that come through here, researchers and professors and high school teachers, that you have at least some capability of trying to get this organized, at least to some degree, under control.
We'll see what happens. But for those reasons, I want to have the discussion because I think the pieces are there, but what to do is unclear.
So this is more specifically aimed at something you could do here at KITP that might have an effect more broadly. And there's a lot of mentoring programs, but there's not a lot of mentoring programs that connect physics teachers with other physics teachers. And you have a lot of really amazing teachers in this room. I know quite a few of them personally. And it would be great if you had a program that would allow physics teachers to ask other physics teachers
to find their peers.
And really facilitate some mentoring between master physics educators and those that might be starting or might not have a physics background but are really looking for that.
Well, I have two thoughts. One, I really like the idea of getting the college kids into the high school and middle school classrooms. So one way to affect that, and I've brought this up at other meetings, not here, but why not just start a course at UCSB in conjunction, if you wish, with the education school, call it Sociology of Physics, and make it mandatory for every student that wants to get a bachelor's degree to spend 20 hours or something along those lines. In a high school or a middle school with kids tutoring. And if you got enough kids, students, into a classroom where you had four or five additional students, you'd have a tremendous increase in the effectiveness of the teacher there. And secondly, there are options. The AAAS has sectional meetings, and the Pacific Section, I've been connected with them for 20 years now, and they have nothing but enthusiasm for high school students presenting posters on anything that they're doing. Cal State Northridge has an annual poster contest for high school kids. So I think there's a lot of options that you could sort of connect with, and I think if you offered a summer institute for kids to have a poster session, and with a follow-up, with anything that they might follow on from that, that would really involve the kids. And the other last thing is, I've been going to this thing for I don't know how many years, 12 or so, and I only see maybe two or three teachers here ever from LA Unified. And for some reason, there's a heck of a lot of teachers there. You guys are not getting the crux of the community out here. And there's something I think needs to be addressed on that.
Physics undergrad.
A positive thing for at University of Connecticut, there's a program there that's called First in Family. It's done by the Department of Engineering, where it's NSF funded. And in my high school, we have a grad student or a PhD who comes and works with my students at least twice a week. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the STEM activity. It's part of the STEM program, and it's great because the kids come in and they learn independent research, they see that there's applications, they try to get, how can I say this as delicately as possible, as many non-white males as possible to come in so that people can really see that there's great diversity, especially people from other countries, which it's really opened up my students' eyes. That's one. Yep. Two, going with that, you showed a slide earlier that had an increase in the rate of physics degrees.
Yes.
Do you know if that's been normalized to actually show physics degrees that have been awarded to students who've graduated from U.S. high schools?
No, I don't know.
Right.
I mean, these are physics. Yeah, I don't know the
just
answer.
To,
yeah, fair question. I don't know. Maybe two more and then we'll get you to lunch.
So I guess I'll focus directly on your question associated with how do you get your undergraduates to potentially go into the physics classroom. I guess what I would say is if I go back to your engineering academy that you highlighted with your daughter being in there, you talked about that requirement that they do some sort of community outreach, either running Lego League or, you know, doing some things like that, and we do that as well. So to me, it would seem like if that is one of your goals for your physics people or for your physics undergrads, that you actually either pick a course or you add some sort of requirement that this is where, you know, maybe, you know, the first year physics wouldn't make the most sense, but by the time they've really felt like that's where they're going to actually be, to add some sort of, you know, community outreach process, which could be education, which could be some other sort of project that would take place specific to that.
But I think the one thing I would, you know, what I'm sort of querying here is, you know, within 50 miles of all of your high schools, there's probably a physicist who's been to the KITP. Okay? That would be my claim.
Okay.
Sorry?
Yeah.
Huh?
I would say in the center of that circle, since we're all here.
Right. But I mean, a point is, you know, if there's ways we can get for each of you take advantage of your interest in having more physics teachers eventually, you know, can we reach out to people near your institutions and say to them, there's a high school physics teacher who was just here at the KITP, you know, you need to go and talk to them and see how you can help.
Right. It's more, so, I think you're going to have to pick a system, and for many of us.
Well, I think it depends on the teacher. I mean, my personal experience in hearing is, you know, it depends on what you want and what you need, and that's the right thing to do for you. And there is no one size fits all.
No, absolutely not.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a suggestion, too. I subscribe to the NASA.gov, and they give 3 to 5 minute short videos. I'm sure a lot of people here do. Yeah. And I think that'd be great for updating.
Those are good examples. That's a.
Okay. I usually give about two videos a month.
Okay.
And they're short, concise, and yeah.
Okay, so that's good to have a good prototype. Thank you.
One of the things a couple of state schools near me have done that's impacted teacher education and science is they've offered the option, if you're going into a STEM career, if you take one extra course per semester for your 4 years, you will also graduate certified to teach in science, technology, engineering, and math. Yeah. And that's provided a lot of teachers that may not have otherwise considered the career.
Right. And that's a state-specific thing, unfortunately. Right. Okay. We've got two more, and then we're going to break. I kept saying that. I said that a little bit ago, didn't I? You set such a good example.
NSTA sponsors webinars that are on various topics. Would you guys be willing to do something like that?
Final question or comment or
yes,
answer to the question. Final answer.
Yes. Let me get my thoughts organized. Does the state of California have enough physics teachers? I guess there's a demand for them. Is that what you're? Well, let's begin with California. If you could work with your education department and ask them if they would send sophomores as part of their course that they would have to take in education into a school and just to do observation, let's say, for 1 day a week for a semester. And maybe in their junior year, something similar but maybe a little bit more involved. And I'm sure they have a student teaching as well where they're in the physics classroom. The other thought was, and I've seen this done at another university, some students in the physics department would present a bunch of concepts to art students in the school, and the art students would take these easy concepts and do really nice artwork about how to explain the concept at an easy level.
Yep.
Bring that back to your own students who are in physics education, and ask them to look at these, and could they make a video? And let them present the video in their senior year doing your student teaching and things of that nature.
Sure. Good. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Let's break for lunch.